Now, let's go on to the next topic, Travel Agency Management Unit 6. Let's see what it is all about. Unit 6 is about airline transport, the history of air travel, international air service agreements, geography basis, air ticketing basis, and electronic ticketing. Let's understand what all these are. Now, what are the objectives? Appreciate the importance of ticketing in air travel, then learn the basic terminologies used in ticketing. Know the existing airline regulations that govern air travel. Name the country codes, city codes, and airline codes. Know what constitutes different parts of the ticket coupon. And learn about e-ticketing basis. Now, in 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright were the first to take a 12-second flight at Kitty Hawk, NC, which covered a distance of 120 feet. That was the first flight which was taken in 1903. In 1914, the first scheduled air service began in Florida. 1909, Delac, the first airline to generate revenues, started with its headquarters in Frankfurt. Then Boeing built the first modern passenger airline in 1933, the first passenger airline. In 1969, another revolutionary aircraft, the Boeing 747, was launched, which is still operational, many 747s. 1978 saw the deregulation of the airline, which began from the USA. Now let's see the history. 1993 to 1997, the European Union led open skies policy regime in all European countries so airlines can fly. Open skies lowered fares, expanded access and boosted tourism, commerce and movement within the now 28 member market. Open air skies is an international policy concept that liberalizes the rules and regulations of the international aviation industry, especially commercial aviation, to create a free market environment for the airline industry. What does it do? Once you open skies, it's a policy agreement internationally that you can fly over my country, you can fly over my zones, and it's commercially for you to come into my city, to land into my country, take passengers and leave passengers. It's a create a free market environment for the airline industry. Now, the advantages of open sky policy, frequent flyer programs, low-cost airlines, privatizations led to mergers of the smaller airlines, privatization of the government airlines like the British Airways. Disadvantages of the open sky policy, increased bankruptcy and unhealthy competition, and consolidation led to dominance of the airlines. Once you consolidated, certain airlines started dominating. There was a problem in increased bankruptcy, unhealthy competition. The smaller airlines were going out of business. So there was an issue, there was a problem. 1911, the first commercial flight in India between Allahabad and Naini, covering a distance of 6 miles, took off. In 1915, Tata Sons Limited started regular airmail services between Karachi and Madras. In 1932, Tata Airlines started airmail services on the Karachi, Ahmedabad, Bombay, Madras route. In 1946, Tata Airlines changed its name to Air India. Air India started international services under the name Air India International Limited. It became India's flag carrier in 1948. From then, Air India has been into being. Today, India is the ninth largest aviation market in the world, with 82 operational airports, 735 aircraft, 12 operational scheduled airlines, and 121 non-scheduled operators. So this is the vast expansion the airline industry has gone through. International air service agreements. International air services between countries operate under the terms of the bilateral air service agreements, ASA, negotiated between the two countries. In a convention in 1944, in Chicago, 54 countries signed the Convention on International Civil Aviation, known as the Chicago Convention. It established the rules under which international aviation operates. There was a rule set. It also established the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO. ICAO developed the traffic rights known as the freedoms of air. And these bilateral agreements formed the basis of rights exchange in air service negotiations. Since then, these bilateral agreements from the basis of rights exchange in air service negotiation. There are certain agreements that you have. You can't fly over here, you can't fly there. So these are agreements which have taken place. International aviation is regulated by a complex web or over 3,000 interlocking bilateral air service agreements, known as the bilateral agreements. They contain provisions on traffic rights, the routes airline can fly, indicating cities that can be served within, between and beyond the bilateral partners. There are five major freedom of air. One is capacity, the number of flights that can be operated or passengers that can be carried between the bilateral partners. That's one. Authorized points, the allowable routes that could be operated. You can only go on the routes allowed. You can't go on any other route. Can be a detailed specification of individual airports which could or could not be combined on a particular flight and in what order. You can't take a certain route if it's not there. If you have to go from this route, you have to. You can't take this route and that route and go. Designation, ownership and control. The number of airlines the bilateral partners can nominate to operate services and the ownership criteria airlines must meet is designated under the bilateral agreement. You have to have the number of airlines the bilateral partners can nominate to operate services. You have to state a number and the ownership criteria airlines must meet is designated there. Tariffs, prices, they decide the tariff for setting fares on the route. The condition necessary for a fare proposed by the airline of one country to become operative. Ticket prices are submitted to the aeronautical authorities for approval. You have to submit the fare to the aeronautical authority. Once they approve it, only then you can charge those fares. First, freedom of the air. The right of scheduled international air services granted by one state to another state to fly across its territory without landing, also known as the first freedom right. You can probably fly over Germany and not land there. It's allowed. So that's the first freedom of the air, the right of scheduled international services. Example, Air India's flights overflying Dubai from Bombay to London. It does not stop in Dubai. Second freedom of air, the right of scheduled international air services granted by one state to another state or many states to land in its territory for non-traffic purposes like refueling or maintenance. Now, this is another freedom of the air. I will land in that country. I'm not there to pick up passengers. I'm not there to drop passengers. I'm just there because I need to do refueling or probably there's some technical slack or some maintenance which needs to be done. So that's the second freedom of air. Third freedom of the air, the right of the scheduled international air services granted by one state to the other to put down in the territory of the first state traffic coming from the home of the carrier. Example, Air India flights flying a passenger, mail and cargo from Bombay to London. It can carry flights flying passenger mail and cargo from Bombay to London. Fourth freedom of the air, the right of scheduled international air services granted by one state to another to fly from the first state traffic designated for the home state of the carrier. Air India flying passenger, mail and cargo from London to Bombay. This is the fourth freedom of the air. The third was flying from Bombay to London. This is from London to Bombay. You have different freedoms of the air. The fifth freedom of the air is the right of the scheduled international air services granted by one state to another state to put down and take on in the territory of the first state traffic coming up from distant to a third state. Example, Air India taking passengers, mail and cargo from Bombay, London and then onward to New York City. So that's the fifth freedom, that the London allows them to pick up passengers, drop passengers and then carry on the flight to New York City. IATA areas. IATA has divided the world into three areas known as Area 1, Area 2 and Area 3, commonly abbreviated as TC1, TC2 and TC3. Right? Each of the IATA areas have been further divided into a sub-area. These sub-areas in the IATA context may have a different meaning from that generally employed by the geographical terms. They have their own terminologies. So IATA may have their own term and context. Sub-area countries, North America. Now what is the sub-area countries? North America is Canada, Greenland, Mexico, St. Pierre and Miquelon, USA including Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico and US Virgin Island. That's North America. Caribbean is Bahamas, Bermuda, Guyana, French Guiana, Suriname and the Caribbean Island. That's known as the Caribbean subterranean area. Central America, Belize, El Salvador, Honduras, Costa Rica, Guatemala and Nicaragua. So this is known as the sub-areas known as Central America. South America, Argentina, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, French Guiana, Suriname, Brazil, Guyana, Uruguay, Chile, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Paraguay. Then what are the other ones? European. All European countries plus the Russia located west of Ural Mountains, right? Middle East. Now this is the areas. The first one that we saw was the area 1, was the continents. Then the area 2, Europe, Middle East, Central Africa. These are places within a continent. All European courtiers plus the Russia located west of Ural Mountains. What does Middle East consist of? What area? Bahrain, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Kuwait, Sudan, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Israel, Qatar, Yemen. These all. Central Africa is Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe. Eastern Africa, what is Eastern Africa? Burundi, Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, Somalia, Tanzania and Uganda. This is Eastern Africa. Southwestern Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, Namibia, South Africa and Swaziland. Western Africa, all the Africa to the west, Indian Ocean Islands, Comoros, Madagascar, Mauritius, Mayotte, Reunion, Seychelles, Libya. This is all Indian Ocean Islands. South Asian, what is the South Asian territory? The third territory, Afghanistan, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Maldives, Sri Lanka, Bhutan, Nepal. Southeast Asia, Indian subcontinent, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, Maldives, Nepal, Pakistan and Sri Lanka. See, these are different areas that are segregated. Japan and Korea, which consists of only Japan and Korea. Southwest Pacific, American, Samoa, Australia, Cook Islands, Fiji, Kiribati, Nauru, New Caledonia, New Zealand, Solomon Islands, Tonga and Vanuatu. See, these are the different areas where you can fly. These are different sectors. Now the important variations in the IATA sub-areas and the geographical areas. The IATA definition of Europe comprises of Europe and parts of countries and islands of North African countries, I mean Morocco, Algeria and Tunisia. So these countries also come under Europe. The Azores, Madeira and the Canary Islands and the Asian part of Turkey also come under Europe. Casablanca, Algiers, Tunis, La Palmas and Ankara are all situated within the IATA Europe sub-area. See, this is all segregated. It is marked that this is area. This is North America. This is South America. So that is how the agreements then take place between the two continents and different countries or between different cities. Syria, Egypt and Sudan are included in the IATA Middle East sub-area. This tells you what is in which part of the world and how does it look in the geographic basis. What is a global indicator? It's a code that appears next to the fare and tells what route the travel must take. For certain destinations, it is possible for passengers to take alternative routes. Example, passengers traveling to Los Angeles from India can travel in two possible directions. The fares would differ in both the cases. Via the Atlantic, stopping in London, New York City, and then going to Los Angeles. With via Pacific stopping over at Bangkok and Tokyo and then moving on. AP and AT are the global indicators. Well, you see, London, New York, Bangkok and Tokyo. These are the two indicators. Now, let's see the indicators over here. Eastern Hemisphere. Journeys are made within IATA Area 2 or wholly IATA 3. The example, this is the codes. Western Hemisphere of the Earth. Journeys are made within IATA Area 1. This is the code. Far East. Journeys between Russia, Ukraine and Area 3. This is the code over here. Hong Kong, Tokyo and it could be probably Moscow. Trans-Siberian. Journeys between IATA Area 2 except Russia and Area 3. Japan and Korea. It could be Bangkok, Tokyo and probably Paris. That's how the routes are. This is the codes given. Atlantic Pacific. Journey between IATA Area 2 and 3 via the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. It could be probably Paris, Sydney and another city. Atlantic AT, journey between the IATA Area 1 and 2 via the Atlantic Ocean. It tells you what are the areas possible. Pacific PA, journeys between the IATA Area 1 via the and 3 via the Pacific Ocean. Boston and Sydney could be. Polar Road PO, journeys between Europe to the Far East via Alaska. This is another combination that we have. The different codes given of the countries that this is where you can probably stop and this is your en route airport, like you can stop here and then move on. Latitudes and longitude. Latitude, the imaginary angular lines on Earth measured north or south of the equator, which is 0 degrees. They are measured in degrees, minutes and seconds. They divide the Earth into northern and southern hemisphere. The important latitudes are: equator at 0 degrees divides the Earth into two halves. Northern and southern hemisphere runs through Colombia, Brazil, Congo, Uganda, Kenya, Maldives, Indonesia. Tropic of Cancer at 23.5 degrees north and runs through Mexico, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, India and southern China. The Tropic of Capricorn at 23.5 degrees south and it runs through Chile, southern Brazil, South Africa and Australia. Arctic Circle is at 66.5% north, Canada, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Russia, Alaska. This is the Arctic Circle on the top of the Earth. The Antarctic Circle is 66.5 degrees south. The North Pole is 90 degrees north and the South Pole is 90 degrees south. This is the demarcation of latitude and longitude, how it is demarcated. Longitudes or meridians are regular angular distances measured in divisions of 15 degrees east and west of 0 degrees, or prime meridian or Greenwich Mean Time. Longitude divides the Earth into eastern and the western hemispheres. The important longitudes: 0 degree longitude is also the prime meridian, and 180 degree longitude is the international date line. The 180 degree longitude is the international date line. The date changes then. Concept of friend: 24 hour clock. The conventional clock uses the 12 hour function as a time function with an AM and PM, separating the morning and evening timings. Travel industry worldwide uses the 24 hour clock to eliminate confusion. Over here you see the 24 hour time. So if they are here in one country, they could be here in another country. So that is how they would try and keep the data for the clock. The international date line. The IDL is an imaginary line that runs from the North Pole through the Pacific Ocean at 180 degrees longitude to the South Pole. This line represents the meeting of the harbors east and west of Greenwich Mean Time, GMT. The east line of the line is 24 hours behind the west side of the line. Crossing the ideal westwards, the day changes to the next. Example, if a passenger flies from USA to Tokyo on a Wednesday, he would arrive after the 9 hours flight and it would be Thursday in Tokyo. So he loses a day. So what happens is, he's flying, the time has changed, so he's lost a day because it's gone ahead. Now, the international date line, IDL, is an imaginary line that runs from the North Pole through the Pacific Ocean at 180 degrees longitude to the South Pole. This line represents the meeting of the hours east and west of the Greenwich Mean Time. This was a standard time set, and the east side of the line is 24 hours behind the west side of the line. Crossing the IDL westwards, the day changes to the next. If, example, if a passenger flies from USA to Tokyo on a Wednesday, he would arrive after the 9 hour flight and it would be Thursday in Tokyo, so he loses a day. Time zones. There are 24 meridians around the globe, as well as approximately 24 time zones, meridians and time zones. The globe is divided into 24 zones of 15 degrees longitude. Each time zone increases or decreases 1 hour for each 15 degrees that you travel. The meridian passing through the observatory at Greenwich in London is the prime meridian or the 0 degree longitude. The universal day begins at the mean midnight at Greenwich and counted on a 24-hour clock. Now, time zone of the map over here, you can see. When we say over here, you can see these time zones. Every time you cross 15 degrees over here, see if you can see the timings. Let's see. This is 8 a.m., right? When we come over here, it's 6 p.m. If we go to Oslo somewhere, it would be approximately, can't see a time over here. Sorry. Let's try and get this over here. This is 5:30 p.m. Over here, you see, this is 2:30 a.m., 3:30 a.m. So this is a 1 hour difference. If you see over here, this is somewhere 4:30 a.m. This keeps changing. See, this is 6:30 a.m. So this is how the time zone changes. IATA codes. The air transport industry uses codes for cities, airports, airlines, currencies, special service requests. All countries, cities, and airports have been given three letters, ISO code by IATA. The codes are designated either three letters or two letters. If a city has more than one international airport, it has a different code than the city. Code basics. Country codes are two letters, IN-US, India, USA. City codes are three letters, Delhi, Bombay, London. Currency codes are three letters, in INR, in Indian rupees, US dollars. Airline codes are two letters, AIBA, that is Air India and British Airways. Airports are three letters, LHR and LGW, two airports of London.